Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and all had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received the food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you in sin you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like straying sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the hymn of the day, number 761. For the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from John chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we ponder Jesus' parables, we're usually thinking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And unlike those three, where the parables usually start off saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, John doesn't use that phrase. Jesus isn't talking about the kingdom, but more often about himself. If the parables of the kingdom are about how the kingdom exists now, paradoxically in the midst of this world, John's Jesus says, Amen, Amen. Truly, truly, I say to you. It's an introduction to Jesus attempting to explain reality to us. And by reality, I mean the truly real, the eternal, not something that is here today and gone tomorrow. Talking to us limited creatures whose experience is primarily of the stuff that vanishes, Jesus is forced into figures of speech. John 10 is often read as concentrating on the figure of speech of sheep and shepherds. But today, our text doesn't quite get to that figure of speech. The figure of speech Jesus uses is the door. And with his first figure of speech, Jesus conjures up the uses and the positions of a regular door. Literally, a door can be opened or it can be closed. Open doors invite entry and exit. Closed doors are for protection. Those doors are the proper way in, but there are often improper ways inside. Jesus is calling on the stuff of everyday life to get us to ponder the eternal. When so many months ago someone climbed into my back window, they did it to steal stuff. The one who enters by the door, though, cares about the stuff inside. But Jesus really isn't talking about our front and back doors. It's a figure of speech. Jesus wants us to ponder portals, open and closed. He wants us to ponder how people get in and their purpose. Just prior to this, Jesus had healed the eyes of the man born blind, leading to one of the great kangaroo courts and lots of irony. One of the points of irony was simply about the law. That court declared boldly that they were the disciples of Moses. And the man responding more or less said, "That's funny, because God spoke to Moses. And God speaks with this Son of Man who opened my eyes, who has entered by the door, Jesus or the Pharisees. Or better yet, who would the doorkeeper open for? Jesus or the Pharisees? Who's understanding the deep purpose of the law? The Pharisees mad that Jesus has healed on the Sabbath, or Jesus who is using the Sabbath to lead to God, to open eyes?" The original question of the episode about the man born blind was, who sinned? Who is more blind? Those who say it was just that man or his parents, or the ones who recognize our universal blindness. The purpose of Moses is to show us our sins. Is it the one who preaches contrary to Moses? Just forget about that sixth commandment thing. It's no biggie. Is that one entering by the door or climbing into the sheep pen as a thief and a robber? Maybe more concerning, what about those who follow such a voice? The picture can get confusing when we think about doors. St. Augustine, pondering this passage, blurts out, how many sheep are on the outside and how many wolves are within? How many sheep are inside and how many wolves are without? It's almost like the wheat and the tares are sown together until the harvest. And on Mother's Day, there are several mothers who probably harbor just such concerns about wayward children. So what can we get out of this metaphor of a door? Or are we just like those listening to Jesus then? They did not understand what he was saying to them. Providentially, Jesus bails us out. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If a true sheep that Jesus knows by his divine foreknowledge is wandering among wolves, there he is, the closed door, the protecting door. All who come before him, who come before that closed door, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep will not listen to them. Jesus, the door, protects them. However distant, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and he calls them by name, and he leads them. That leading might first be a walking the long way back from a distant country, but the Lord knows those who are his and acts as that closed door of protection. He says again, I am the door. Anyone who has entered by Christ will be saved. And they will go in and go out and find pasture. This is Jesus, the eternal open door, who invites all to come and to believe and to have life in his name. During this life, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with us. He leads us. He leads us to good water and to pasture. He restores our souls. He does this through the word, which he has given to us and through which we hear his voice. He does this through the sacraments, like those good waters of baptism that we pass as we enter. Jesus is also the eternal open door for prayer. The rock of ages, we can enter and find solace. Anyone who enters through Jesus, the door, will be saved and find life. We might then ask, what impact should this have on how we live? What is the moral lesson or force of the passage? You might discern others, but I'll remark on two of them. The first moral lesson would be to be on your guard, because there are thieves and robbers. Satan prowls looking for who he might devour. The world is constantly calling with a different voice than the shepherds. And the sin that resides in us naturally wants to stray. But there's a proper path marked, a way that the door opens onto. And that's the way of holiness or of sanctification. And that path has been marked by the one who leads his sheep, Jesus himself. In this life, that path goes past Calvary. We pick up our cross. We walk in the shadow of death, but we fear no evil, because the shepherd knows his way, because he's risen. The second moral lesson suggested by Augustine's angst is that Christ is the door and we are not. This might be a finer division than most might think. At a simple level, Augustine reminds us that we don't know the future and Jesus does. Quoting from him, For if he is one of those who are predestined, then both his very wandering and his future conversion have been foreknown to God. We can point at the door, that there is Christ, but it isn't ours to make final judgment. But to point at the door to those who are lost is at least in part pointing to the law. It's by Moses that we become cognizant of our sinfulness, that we are lost and need to enter through the door, which is Jesus. There's a big difference between true judgment, which is putting someone on the outside eternally, and pointing out that they're straying from the path. One is a usurpation of Christ's royal authority. The other is love. And we are called to love. But that's not love as the world defines it today, nor as it ever has. Because we want acceptance of our acts, not our being. But moms show us the falsehood of that. They love us, and the best of them also taught us, not just by accepting what we do. The final note is an eschatological one. Jesus says that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, while he comes for abundant life. Both of these things happen. Past Calvary, past the shadow of death, there is a resurrection. Those who have entered through the door, through Jesus, have entered into abundant life. The doors of the New Jerusalem are wide open. And they're open because the thieves have been put away, and God no longer lets them plunder his sheep. They will receive their desire and their reward, death and destruction. There's a foreshadowing of that eschatological truth today. Some hear the words of Jesus and say, yes, that sounds like the truth. I may not get it all, but I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Others will hear that voice, the same words, and the same door. One sees the door to abundant life, and the other yawns and puts Christ away as not worth pondering. But now is the time to hear the voice. Now is the time when the door is open. Because today is the day of grace. Enter the door before it is shut and can't be opened. Amen.